Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Kusan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Siaki. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama Dee. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Fervent Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host. Be a part of the solution.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Learning with Zelda Speaks. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness.
mindfulness. It is Monday, January 10th, second Monday of the new 2022. We are just here to start your week off with a mindfulness stress relief session, which will be taking place at 7:15 a.m. Central Standard Time. So be sure and prepare for that by getting ready for your morning meditation. And also let us keep in mind those who are sick, shut in, the incarcerated, and the non-believers. There's so much chaos and confusion going on in the world today, and we have to pay strict attention to what's going on in here, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, and that is what will save us. So let us keep that in mind. It is the last day of the cold snap, so there are still 24-hour warming centers available if you are in need of heat. You don't have heat at home, get to a warming center, because this is not the kind of weather people should be out in the cold. And speaking of being out in the cold, we just delivered our first generator this year for the residents of Tent City. So thank you for all the donations that are still coming in so we can keep getting more money. We can buy more generators. They have heaters. They need generators because the heaters will only last so long without electricity. So that's what the generators are for. Those are important. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts here at the Higher Learning Network. And I still got socks coming in. I was like, oh my goodness, I must have put a whole lot of emphasis on socks, because one of our members of the Friday Night Rollers, I know I can't skate anymore, we still play beat with, so I tell them every year and throughout the year that we are in need of socks, blankets, coats, jackets, scarves, all that good stuff to keep our fellow residents in Tent City warm. And I got a big bag of socks one day, and another day I got it. I'm like, where are all these socks coming from? I haven't ordered any socks. Oh, and then it said a gift from Barbara. So Barbara's in California where it's warm. So thank you, Barbara, on behalf of the people in Tent City. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, excuse me, you don't always have to order them from anybody. You got old socks at home. As long as they're clean, as long as your head is warm and your feet are warm, the body will take care of itself. But you've got to have your head warm and your feet warm. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all those socks, Barbara. We really, really appreciate that. And we also appreciate the fact that we are still here today. If you haven't seen in the news, transitions taking place all over the world. Sidney Poitier, 94 years young. We're celebrating him. He was the first African-American indigenous man who received an Oscar. And that is major, because you know they do not like, well, that's another show. Anyway, all that information is on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. And so you can find that information there and a whole lot of other information as well. Today's story show is Unplugged, the untold story of Chicago's Gospel Musical Festival. And guess who it is? Sasha Dalton. Yes. My former co-worker from WGCI AM 1390 Gospel Radio. Girl, she got the scoop. Guys, scoop. She got the scoop. This book is off the chain, Unplugged. I read the first chapter last night. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to get the rest of it. Anyway, if you're listening online this morning, you can join the conversation at 515-605-9325. Remember, you got to press 1 to speak so we can open up your mic. And thank you for joining us this morning on Facebook.com. HLN TV 1, and also our YouTube page, Higher Learning TV Show. And remember to sign up for the new social media site. It's a women's by a fellow journalist who we worked at WJPC together. Yeah, it's called the Women's Network Group. But the website is Pixely, P-I-X-E-O-L-Y, Pixely.com. So go there and sign up. And while you're there, be sure and follow us on the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19, and on our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV Show. And for those who know that eating in the world is a constant challenge. Eating the right foods is a constant challenge. And I had diabetes. And I was pre-diabetic for 10 years and didn't know it. So you could probably be pre-diabetic and not know it. So be sure and download the free download, How I Reverse Type 2 Diabetes. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So you want to go to diabeticdonut.com. Okay. And free download. Share it with somebody. Tell somebody. Because we all need it. And as we take a look at our traffic and weather before we get started with the meditation today. Today is the last day of the bitter cold. It's 14 degrees now, down to 1 degree tonight. Excuse me, but 29 tomorrow. So we look forward to tomorrow. Traffic and weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. If you want to go to the Caribbean, Alaska, Hawaii, Mexico, Vegas, anywhere on the planet, you can go. You can travel with itex dollars. And when you sign on and use the promo code ZELDA, Z-E-L-D-A, get $100 to go shopping immediately. Put that in your account. And this is all accepted by the IRS. It is a barter and trade company. So if you have products or services, if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, you have products or services that you would like to exchange services for, you exchange your services. I'm sweating like a pig because it's hot in here. But I need it because I'm drinking tea and it's just pulling up all this stuff up out of me. Anyway, I digress. Use the promo code ZELDA and get $100 to go shopping. No delays reported on Metro or CTA this morning, but inbound on the Kennedy is a little of the story. It's only 28 minutes inbound, 24 on the outbound from O'Hare to downtown. But on the Edens, it's 18 in, 15 out. And on the Eisenhower, where there's always the issue, it's 44 minutes inbound, 24 in the reverse. At Harlem and Cicero, there's a crash back to 17th Avenue. So expect delays if you are on the Eisenhower. No other reports except for Bishop Ford at 119th Street. It's closed due to an accident. The Stevenson, Ryan, and Jean-Baptiste Dusabo this morning is all running smoothly. And that's Traffic and Weather, sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. And now it is time for your spiritual reading this morning. And you know, I usually read from my book, but sometimes you just want to read something else. And there's just, this book is so off stage. I just want to read it to you, but I can't. You need to go buy it because the information there is so, I don't want to say overwhelming, but it just makes you go, Okay, so I'm going to read you this. How about this? Unplugged, the untold story of Chicago's Gospel Musical Festival jazz singer, Sasha Dalton, chronicles the fest journey from brainstorm to the world's most acclaimed gospel fest. Yes. Chicago's Gospel Festival has emerged as one of Chicago's most anticipated summer festivals. Now in its 35th year, Chicago's Gospel Fest is hand-clapping, body-swaying, joyous occasion that attracts hundreds of thousands to the lakefront. The festival has evolved into one of Chicago's most anticipated and most popular music extravaganzas, and its beginning can be credited to Chicago's entertainment phenom, Sasha Dalton. She had a dream about Chicago having a premier gospel celebration and was determined to see gospel music and have a place in Chicago's musical pantheon. Dalton captures the journey of the roots of the Chicago Gospel Festival in her new book titled Unplugged, the Untold Story of Chicago's Gospel Musical Festival. The book reveals how the success of this Dalton-conceived and produced festival, the Thomas Dorsey Festival, laid the foundation for the Chicago Gospel Festival being one of the premier summer festival mainstays. Dalton put her budding career on hold now to bring the Gospel Festival to life. And at the time when her vision began taking shape, she was delighting audiences at New York entertainment hotspots with her repertoire of jazz favorites, which thrilled the crowd. Now, the book unveils what a force Dalton was as she single-handedly and methodically made the dream a reality. working her plan, she started with a pitch to Mayor Harold Washington. He shared her vision that the Chicago Gospel Festival would excite gospel aficionados. Unplugged. Accounts. Now. How Mayor Washington's infectious incitement increased the chances of the event becoming part of the city's festival calendar. With faith in her, Mayor Washington gave her a full-throated endorsement. He fired up the special events department and the executive staff. Dalton's ability to reel in top stars, producers, entertainers to give the festival gave it life. It debuted on June 14, 1985 as the Dorsey Gospel Festival in honor of the father of gospel music, Thomas Dorsey. It was held at the South Shore Cultural Center and was a resounding success. With the city's $5,000 contribution and the prominent role and involvement, this was hailed up as the first city-sponsored gospel musical festival. With determination, Dalton coordinated all aspects of the festival, including acquiring sponsorships, and that is major. A meeting with Jim Fletcher, president of Shore Bank, led to the financial institution of being all in. Excited, Fletcher also connected her to Kentucky Fried Chicken, which became the flagship sponsor. Dalton also secured talent and brought together Chicago's musical factions whose cooperation and willingness to put their egos on hold were critical to the success. Among the highs was making the festival a homage to gospel legend Thomas Dorsey, with his name being the Dorsey Gospel Musical Festival. The name was later changed to Chicago Gospel Festival. Lovingly known as the father of gospel, the absolute climax of the festival was the appearance of the aging Professor Thomas Dorsey. In attending, he basked in the love of the audience, which numbered 40,000. The debut festival attracted coverage from the internationally respected global media outlet, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. Producing the festival was not without its low points. There was behind-the-scenes bickering that threatened to sabotage the festival. Most notably, there was resistance by black ministers to Dalton as producer. Really? They felt her background was not rooted enough in gospel since she was a jazz singer. Come on, now. Where did jazz come from, y'all? Okay, I digress. They were opposed to her high-profile leadership role, that they sought a meeting with the mayor and appealed to him to choose someone they wanted. Mayor Washington's one-word response was firm and emphatic: no. He knew Dalton, believed in her, and both entrusted and empowered her to deliver, which she did in spite of the hurdles. By that time, Dalton had secured the endorsement of the powerful Reverend Clay Evans, pastor of the Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church, the ship we call it, and Albertina Walker, the queen of gospel music. Excuse me. These voices, along with Mayor Harold Washington's blessings, quieted the preachers and quelled the turmoil. Dalton's magic in bringing the festival to life was also due to perfect timing, faith, prayer, and cooperation of a cross-section of Chicago leaders, entertainment luminaries, and close friends. Among those who made contribution include Michael Scott, the late Michael Scott, Deputy Director of the Mayor's Office of the Special Events, Dr. Carol Adams, educator and consultant, Walter Jacobson, anchor of CBS News, Clifton Davis, television star and recording artist, Dr. Bobby Jones, host of the BET show Bobby Jones Gospel, Billy Preston, recording artist known as the Fifth Beatle, Billy Davis Jr., recording artist, The Fifth Dimension, P. Penny Tyler, producer, Chicago Jazz Festival, and George Wine, president of the founder of Festivals, Inc. Today, the Dorsey Gospel Festival is recognized as the spark that lit the Chicago Gospel Festival, which is hailed as the world's largest gospel fest, with an attendance of over 100,000 people. Authoring Unplugged gave Dalton time to reflect and to chronicle the journey. It was hard work, she recalls, often frustrating, always challenging, but ultimately rewarding. Ladies and gentlemen, Unplugged, the story of Chicago's Gospel Musical Festival. And it sells for $24.99, can be ordered at unpluggedthebook.com. Wow, that's a lot of information, right? Well, that's just what I read. Wait until she comes on the show. But, right, so it's 7:21, and we're going to do our Monday morning mindfulness meditation, and then we're going to bring Sasha on. So are you ready? Wow, that was a lot of information, but I couldn't read inspiration this morning from just a book. I got to give it live, raw, in the red, because we've got Queen Mother here to tell us how it was. Not it is, but it was. Okay. So let's sit up straight in our chairs, feet flat on the floor, nothing in our hands, and nothing in our heart but that of love and joy and wisdom. No matter what's going on out there, just feel the love, feel the joy, feel the... Because all that information I just read to you, that was a whole lot. It was a press release, actually. But I just had to share that with you because I want you to absorb what I just said and just think on that. And we do that with the power of the breath. Breathe in through the nose, hold it, and exhale. Excuse me while I clean my nose. Look good on camera, blowing your nose. I'm drinking this hot toddy tea. No, ain't no alcohol in it. It's good tea, and it lemon and honey and all that. And it brings it out. What you gonna do? So sit up straight, feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes. You should not be looking at me, but the inside of your eyelids. Okay, and we'll inhale deeply. Hold it, and exhale all through the nose. Oh, did you feel that? Just that one breath. The breath is the first line of defense when you are being attacked mentally, emotionally. You simply breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Doesn't that feel good? So relaxed. Let's do it again. Together. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And as you breathe in and breathe out, we don't have to breathe in and breathe out together, but as long as you're breathing, feeling the oxygen coming in through your nostrils, going down through your throat, and feeling that breath, that energy moving all throughout your body. So let's continue to breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. You should feel that tension release immediately right here in the neck area and the shoulders area. So now as we breathe in, let's take these two fingers and thumb. And as we breathe in, inhale deeply. Hold it. And massage the back of the neck. Squeeze that neck. Squeeze the back of that neck. That's where the vagus nerve is. That is connected to your immune system. So you always want to stimulate that as we breathe in. Hold it. And as we breathe out. Oh, does that feel good? Yes. Send that love light in. Good vibration energy down through the spine, through the rest of the body. As we breathe in, take these hands and use these fingers and rub those shoulders where all of that tension is. And then just take a nice, long, deep stretch. Inhale. And exhale. Once more. Inhale deeply. Another stretch. Oh, doesn't that feel good? Come on, stretch with me. And exhale. You're not just looking at me. You're moving that body. Body in motion stays in motion, okay? Inhale once more. Bring those hands up. And if you can, turn around. I got a high back chair here. Twist that body. And exhale. Oh, does that stretch feel good? Yeah, that stretch feels good. And inhale deeply. Turn around. Twist that body. And exhale some more. Oh, feel the tension release in the body. Oh, yeah, that feels good. And then bring that body back around. Yeah. Inhale deeply. And exhale. With each breath, we are sending love, light, and healing vibrations to each and every part of our body. Yes, we can do that with the breath as we start, as we inhale deeply, bringing that energy to the top of the head, down as we exhale, releasing the energy through the face, the forehead, the chin, and the shoulders as we rotate those shoulders, as we breathe in. And as we breathe out, sending more love and light and energy to the solar plexus, the sides and the backs and the hips and the thighs. As we breathe in, giving thanks for the power of the breath, that we're sending more love and light and healing energy down through the thighs and the knees. Oh, yes, honey, rub those glorious knees. Send them all the love and light and healing energy you possibly can through the power of the breath as we breathe in. Hold it. And as we breathe out, sending more love, light, and healing energy down through the legs and the ankles and the arches and the heels and the insteps and the toes. Yes, feel free to wiggle those toes as we breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Once more, breathe in. And as we breathe in, bringing that energy from the toes that are twiggling all over the place, sending that energy of love, light, and energy back up through the ankles and the arches and the legs and the knees. And yes, rub those knees and those thighs and those hips. Because the body is always sending us messages, and we see them as pain, but they are messages that we need to give attention to certain body parts by simply breathing in and breathing out and acknowledging the message. Wherever the message comes in for you, mine is my knees, honey, because I use the roller skate, so I wore these knees out. And no, I am not working on a knee replacement. I am working on a power replacement. As I breathe in, and as I give thanks for the power of the breath, of the healing breath, because I'm listening to the body's messages, and I'm giving thanks as I touch any part of my body that is signaling to me that it needs some care. It needs a little love, a little attention, like the hips that we sit on at our computers when we drive all day and we are stationary, and that is not good for the body because the body needs to move as we breathe in. Hold it. And as we exhale, we do the shift from side to side. It's referred to as the higher learning hip roll. 88-year-old woman in the gym told me a body in motion stays in motion. So keep it moving as we inhale deeply. Bringing that back energy back up through the hips and the thighs and the back and the shoulders and the arms. And we simply breathe in and stretch. And exhale. As we continue to breathe in, take one more long, last, deep inhale deeply. Bringing all the energy from the breath back up through the shoulders and back up to the top of the head. And we give thanks for the power of the breath as we stretch and as we move. And we give thanks for the power of movement because someone somewhere is unable to move. And look at you just moving all on your own, giving thanks for movement. Yes, as we breathe in. And as we breathe out, as we take one long, last, deep inhale deeply, and as we exhale, bringing the head forward, chin to chest, and slowly rotate the head to the left, slowly, slowly, slowly bringing the head back around to the right, and slowly bringing it back around to the front, head up, inhale deeply. And as you exhale, bring the head back, chin to chest, and slowly rotate the head to the right. Slowly. Slowly. Slow down. Moving too fast. And feel that stretch. Feel the increments in the neck. And slowly bring it back around to the front. Head up. Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, look to the left as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the right side of the neck. And exhale. Inhale once more. And looking to the right as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the left side of the neck. And bring the head back forward. Doesn't that feel good? Ooh, yes. All energized and ready to go as we inhale. One last long, deep breath together. Inhale deeply. And exhale. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just activated the health and healing genes just by the power of your breath. They didn't teach you that in school, did they? Wonder why. Don't want you to know the power within. It all begins with the breath. And two of the most powerful words on the planet, I am. So let's use two words to describe how you are feeling right now. I am happy. Oh, yes. What two words do you choose? I am healthy. I am whole and complete just as I am. Inhale deeply. And exhale. As we give thanks for the brain that sent the signals to the throat, to the heart, to the liver and the lungs, the spleen, the spine, the digestive assimilation and elimination system and all of the other endocrine systems that work in the body, systems that work without us even knowing it, but they are all working on our behalf. And we are sending love, light, and healing energy to them all. And we give thanks to the power of the breath. It is the first line of defense, and let us remember that when we are attacked physically, mentally, or emotionally, just simply breathe in. If you got a little funk on your breath, you forgot to brush your teeth or had garlic or onions or something not so pleasant. And when you inhale, exhale, blow it in their face, and I promise you they'll leave you alone. Because their breath is foul and they don't want to smell it. And that's your first line of defense. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your Monday morning mindfulness meditation that you can also look at on my YouTube channel, Zelda Speaks. And also Zelda Speaks 2 and the number 2 and the letter U. And it is 7:33. Oh, my goodness. I got so caught up in the meditation and telling you so much about Unplug, I simply forgot. I didn't forget. I was just enjoying the experience with you. So thank you for enjoying the experience with me this morning. If you want to be part of the Monday morning mindfulness, we love to have you here, and that's what we do. So stay close. And coming up, Unplug, the Untold Story of Chicago's Gospel Musical Fest with Sasha Dalton. Stay close. We'll be right back, okay?
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Susan Essentials leads you to wellness by giving you access to more than 20,000 sustainably produced nutritional products delivered direct to your door.
I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and today we are joined by Chicago's own legendary Queen Mother, telling the story, unplugged, the untold story of Chicago Gospel Musical Festival with Queen Mother, Sasha Dalton. As I go to the phone line right now, I see her there, 312. We are live on the air with Queen Mother, Sasha Dalton, ladies and gentlemen. My Sasha, welcome Queen Mother, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, and I certainly enjoyed the breathing exercises. How wonderful was that?
Oh, I am so glad you did, because not everyone gets a chance to experience that. So the fact that you did, I am honored.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to – do you do that every Monday?
Every Monday, 7:15.
Well, I will make it a point to join you again next week.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that you – are open and receptive to sharing, as you have done in the book Unplugged. Now, I know a little bit about you, but the world doesn't know. Well, actually, I take that back. The world does know, because the world does know about the Chicago Musical Festival. But if you look on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, there's a ton of information there, as well as the fact that she has a website as well. And I would like to read, if you don't mind, from the website unpluggedthebook.com. So is that okay with you, Queen Mother?
Sure.
Oh, wonderful. So let's go to the site. And I think you all can go to the site, too, as well. It's called unpluggedthebook.com. And I'm trying to pull it up here on the screen for those who are online with me this morning. They can see it as I read it here. There she is. Unpluggedthebook.com. For 35 years, Chicagoans and even people outside of the city and outside of the country have been making their way every summer to Chicago's Grant Park for the world's largest gospel festival, the Chicago Gospel Music Festival. Yet, most people have no idea of the festival's history. Where did it come from? When did it start? And who founded this wonderful festival? Finally, Sasha Dalton, the originator and founder of the Chicago Gospel Music Festival, has written a book that tells it all. Sasha describes how she brought the idea to the then mayor, Harold Washington, the first black mayor of Chicago, and many agree, the greatest mayor Chicago ever had. Yes, yes, yes. And she tells of her challenge as a jazz singer to win over Chicago's gospel community, because you know, girl, we can be rough. She gives her heartwarming, sometimes humorous accounts of her encounters with many of the nation's gospel greats. Now, although and through it all, she gives a historical perspective of Harold Washington, Chicago, the people, and the politics. I really enjoyed that part, even though I only read the first chapter. Whether you're one of the hundreds of thousands that have attended the Chicago Gospel Music Festival, or a crowd-shy somebody who just loves to read a good book, Unplugged will find a special place in your heart and on your bookshelf. But now, baby, on the bookshelf, you got to share that with somebody, something you just can't keep to yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, I share with you this morning the Queen Mother, Sasha Dalton. Thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to get not inside your head, but in this book. Why was there so much confrontation about putting the truth out? Oh, it was because it was a woman? Really?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say, excuse me, Zelda, I wouldn't say that there was confrontation about putting the book out. It took me some time to even decide to write it. But there was a lot of backlash, I'll say, when I first started it, because, of course, I was not known in the gospel community. And this was, yeah. No, that's not to say I didn't go to church. And some people used to say she's unchurched, and
okay,
which is not true. Right. I was a member of Apostolic Church of God. I had came from a religious family, but I wasn't going to say, "Well, this is what I do. This is what I am. This is what I am," to justify or gain anybody's acceptance. But I was well known, as a jazz singer. So at a time when we had the first black mayor, and there were people out here who had been doing a lot in gospel, for me to come along and get the plum of the of events to do, don't do a lot of controversy. And within the religious community with some people. And I kind of had a hard time at first. So, and you know, there was outcry to get some of the ministers call me a blues singing cow, but you know, not get that blues singing cow, but they didn't say cow out of City Hall. And you know, Mayor Washington said, no, she's going to stay. And that started with the Dr. King event. Because it was the Dr. King event that led to the Gospel Festival.
Oh, okay.
I went to the mayor with an idea on my way back to New York because I had just come home. This is my home. But I had only come home for a short time and got involved in the mayoral campaign. But I was in New York, and I had been staying in New York doing my show, Sasha, the show that started here, which was Sasha Sing Dinah, went to New York as Dinah, Queen of the Blues. And after that show closed, I didn't want to come back to Chicago. I wanted to stay in New York. I loved New York. And
oh, wow.
But I came home for a visit. And, of course, that's history because I never went back to New York. On my way back, I was at a party with the mayor, excuse me, and I said to him, you know, mayor, I have an idea. And he said, what is it? I said, to do a Dr. King event, a tribute to Dr. King, because a lot of people forget that in 1973, Harold Washington was a congressman.
Yes.
And he made Illinois the first state to honor Dr. King's birthday and make it a provisional birthday.
Yes.
So when I said that, and I said, you might want to get a jump on the nation, because this was 1985, and in 1986, Dr. King's birthday was going to be a national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you could get Stevie Wonder, and you can do this. Well, I knew that we could probably get Stevie Wonder, because Stevie Wonder was the first artist to boycott Chicago Fest, which was the energy that led to him being mayor. You know, that started the whole ball rolling. And Stevie also was a very big supporter of Dr. King. So I'm thinking in my mind, why wouldn't he come to Chicago for the first black mayor and to celebrate Dr. King? So the mayor then said, I think this is a great idea, and we should start the day with a Dr. King breakfast.
Well,
I'm not going to take credit for starting that breakfast. And I said that to people. The mayor said to me, we should start the day with a Dr. King breakfast. And he actually, when he was in Congress, if I'm not mistaken, he used to do a Dr. King breakfast. So it was a matter of rolling it over from one event to the other. So anyway, we did this big one-day event in Chicago. All Chicago celebrates Dr. King. With Stevie Wonder, Oprah Winfrey was just, you know, new here, and we had a gang summit. The mayor and Oprah and Stevie met, the mayor didn't meet, it was, but he sanctioned it, to have a meeting with all of the gang leaders about peace, and it was just fantastic. Well, as that event, when that event was over, I said to them, I was going back to Chicago, to New York, and a gentleman walked in the office who was a friend of mine. And I don't know if you remember Ransom Boykin. Do you remember him, Zelda?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Anyway, Ransom came in, and he said, I need your help. And I said, what? And he said, I need a letter. I want to get Thomas Dorsey the governor's award. And these people are giving me a hard time. And I think maybe if I can get a letter from you and a letter from the mayor, it will help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, oh, okay. So I wrote the mayor's letter, had his signature applied, wrote mine. And a couple of weeks later, Ransom came back and he said, guess what? They're going to give Dorsey the award. And I thought about it. And I thought, well, not a mayor can't let the governor honor Dorsey and he not honor him.
Okay.
So when I met, so when I met with the mayor, I said, you know, mayor, they're going to, the state is going to honor Thomas Dorsey. And he said, that's nice. And I said, they're going to give him the governor's award. He said, well, that's very nice. I said, well, I know you're not going to let the governor honor Dorsey and you not do something. He's our father of gospel music. And
okay.
So the mayor said, what do you suggest? I said, a gospel festival. Call it the Dorsey Gospel Festival. Have it on Father's Day weekend. And he said, can you do it that fast? I said, I can't do it at all. I'm going back to New York. He said, not if it's going to be a gospel festival. And that's how it happened.
Oh. It's all in the details. Wow.
Yeah, that's how it came about.
That is phenomenal. Wow, the things that go on behind the scenes, you think you know something, and you really don't know anything. I want to dig a little deep in the book. I got a chance to read the first chapter last night, and I got so many notes, and I know we're not going to get to them all, but just let me do what I can here. In chapter one, you talk about founding the gospel musical festival because it was for your love for music, and the second was Dinah Washington, queen of the blues. Now, I want to share with you very briefly, I hated blues coming up because I got a chance to live in the South, and I had the experience of chopping cotton and picking cotton and working in the field, and that was, baby, wasn't nothing happy about it. And they were all talking about how people were singing and Queen of Love. I'm like, look, I'm not trying to hear any of that. But when I came back to Chicago, and in order to graduate from Columbia College with communications degree, I had to do a paper on the blues, on Ma Rainey, who was at the time, what do they call it? She was the queen. But I didn't know that Dinah Washington was the real queen because Ma Rainey studied under her. Did I get
that
right?
No. You got that a little. Let me correct you.
Please do.
First, the Gospel Festival came about. Dinah Washington was first, and then came the Gospel Festival.
Okay.
Dinah Washington was called the Queen of the Blues.
Yes.
But she did not like being called the Queen of the Blues. Because she sang everything, and
yes,
she talked, said, I should be called the Queen of Song. But how the Dinah Washington piece came is that I was, I had written a show some years before on the history of Black Chicago as an educational show that was called Running with the Eight Ball.
Mm.
And there was a segment in the show about the Club de Lisa. And although I thought it was a educational show, I was getting all these, all of the old adults were coming to see the show anytime we had a performance. And I realized they liked reminiscing about the Club de Lisa. So I decided I would write a show about the Club de Lisa. And I went to Mike DeLisa's son, excuse me, and asked for permission to use the name. And then I started talking to some of the business people here in the city and asked them, if I did a show on the DeLisa, would you give me some money?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said yes. Well, one of the people that I wanted to put in there in the show was Dinah Washington, that she had stopped into the DeLisa. And I'm a kind of thorough researcher. And when I started my research, I couldn't find anything on Dinah to the extent that I could on Joe Williams or Billie Holiday. And I thought, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Dinah Washington was the greatest singer in the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of flipped the script and started writing a show about Dinah and called it Dinah and Her Music.
Mm-hmm.
And I became so upset with Dinah Washington. I went to New York, I went to California, I went everywhere I could to talk to people that knew her, her family. I got on her family's nerves. Well, and I can be overbearing, I admit that. So when I started auditioning people for the show, I finally found this one young lady that I thought would do a great job. And she said to me, and I'm you know, I envision myself as her producer and telling her all about Dinah and sitting in the background. So I said to her, I was giving her all this information. She said, stop, girlfriend.
Oh.
I don't want to know all of that. All I want to know is how much money you're going to pay me and what songs I'm going to sing. And I got so incensed. I snatched the script. I said, give me my script. I'll do this myself. And so I changed the title to Sasha Sing Dinah. And that's how that show was born. But my mother, and it was an instant success, but my mother had come to the show, that the first show that we did, And my mother was not a woman who was excited about me being in show business. She was more excited about making me go back to school and finish my degree. And but she came to the show that night and she said, I can see it. I can just see it. This is going to do great things for you. Well, she went home and her house caught on fire. And those are the last words I ever heard my mother speak.
Wow.
And so I was totally devastated. But I kept going, and I was very glad when the show closed. And I was, as far as I was concerned, I was done with it. And the producer from New York was in the audience, Woody King. And he said to me, I'm Woody King, I love this show, and you should be in New York.
Mm.
And that's how the show got to New York. And the only reason I agreed to go is because I could hear my mother saying, this is going to be great for you. And I said, okay, great things happen in New York. I got to do this for my mom. And but the show didn't do as well in New York as it did here.
Mm.
And but I still didn't want to come back to Chicago, I wanted to say. So then I came home for a visit, and that's how we got to the Gospel Festival. But here's what's interesting with you, Zelda, is that you say you didn't like the blues and you know learned about Ma. We had to write a paper on Ma Rainey. You know Dorothy used to be her music director.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, Professor Thomas Dorothy was Ma Rainey's music director, and at that was before his conversion. And I shouldn't call it conversion, before he totally gave his life to gospel music.
Yes.
And he was called Georgia Tom then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He called this Georgia Tom. And he was a blues pianist. And he was Ma Rainey's music director. Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. Had no idea. But I'm so glad that I was forced to do that paper in order to graduate, because watching the Ma Rainey video in the library, I was introduced to Dinah Washington. I've heard of Dinah Washington, but I didn't know anything about her. And I learned to appreciate the power of the blues and the history of the blues and where it came from. And when I found out about Dinah Washington, I just lost my mind. I was like, oh, my goodness. Sister on the west side from back in the day, she was handling her business. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah. She was. Well, Dinah did a lot of great things, and she made a lot of strides. You know, she was the first black singer to sing country western.
Say that again now.
To sing country western music.
What?
Yeah, and she was on the jukebox. And now I'm a lot older than you, but I remember the little table jukeboxes in the restaurant. You remember
those?
No,
I remember jukeboxes. What are you talking about? I remember.
Yeah, Dinah, oh my God, I love Dinah Washington and love her music and doing her show. I was the first person to do a show on Dinah Washington, and that opened in 1980. And at the Brief Reflection. But anyway, it was all about Dinah Washington that led to the Gospel Festival. And I say in the book that I think while I tell the story of the Gospel Festival, it's really a story, a book of faith, and following the path that God has for you.
Mm.
Because founding a Gospel Festival was nowhere in my plans.
Mm.
I wasn't thinking about gospel. I was thinking about going back to New York, hanging out with my friends, being a New York diva. I was not thinking about gospel. I had amassed a wonderful group of friends, and you know, who were Broadway people, and we were. I didn't think about gospel or Thomas Dorsey or Dr. King event, but God has a plan for our lives.
Man,
and while we don't know what it is, we think we're going down one way and God is directing you down another. And I had to learn that And I encourage people to read the book, not only for its historical value, but to really follow the path that God has for you, because it's always going to be the best one. But you never know when you're starting a journey where you're going to go, how, what the turn is going to be. And what I learned, when I was working on this book, I started to call it an unrequested ministry because I learned that I was really doing ministry with the gospel festival. It became a ministry for me. I was a Christian, Zelda, I used to always laugh and say, it won't really matter what day of the week I die if God only lets certain denominations in on certain days, because I've been everything, so I qualify. If I die on Catholic Day, I can get in, Baptist Day, Buddhist Day. But the Gospel Festival led me to seminary. I'm just saying that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan.
Okay.
Because my plan was not this, but who would have thought that he uses ordinary people.
Yes, ma'am.
To just get his plan across. I was the most unlikely person in the world to found the gospel festival, a jazz singer. Who didn't even know that Thomas Dorsey was still alive. When Ransom came to me, I said to him, he's still alive.
Right.
I knew he was, and he said,
right.
Yes, he is. And to have the honor and the privilege of working for the first black mayor of Chicago and meeting Thomas Dorsey and Sally Martin and all of the gospel greats. Because going back to the history, this is the home of gospel music and all of the gospel artists and musicians and ministers. Reverend Clay Evans wrote the foreword for the book.
Yes, I read that. Yes. I read that this morning as part of my introduction to bringing you on the show. I usually read an inspirational reading in the morning, but no, today I read that, and I was like, people need to know that. This is history. You have not only chronicled the events that led up to it, but there's a history component in it, and it's like, thank you for sharing that information because we didn't know it. I mean, here I am working with you in radio, and I didn't know. I'm supposed to know these things.
I talk about the journey because a lot of us forget, and young people don't really know, about the Harold Washington campaign and how he actually became the mayor. And I had to put that in there because it was how I became involved. And I had to explain how I developed that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to know, I worked very hard in the mayoral campaign. And I thought, I'm just doing this, because Harold Washington's a good man. He needs to be the mayor, da-da-da-da-da. But when it came time for me to do the gospel festival, the mayor said, you've got to do it. Well, I had met with opposition from the religious community, so I said, oh, my God, now I got to do a gospel festival for a lot of the people that don't even like me. How am I going to make this work?
Right.
And I went back and I decided, or God put in my spirit, this is going to be a movement, and you have to treat this just like we did the mayoral campaign.
Yeah.
And I went against some of those same people who had given of themselves. And I never forget the mayor said in his inauguration that he won the campaign because of Felix of people who knew nothing about a campaign believed in the mission. And I said, if I need those same people who believed in the mission to believe in this mission for Thomas Dorsey, and who did I get? Reverend Clay Evans.
Okay.
I went to Reverend Evans, and I said, would you help me? And he said, yes. Albertina Walker.
Oh, Michael, I missed Albertina. Yes.
I knew I needed committee to make this work. Maxine Walker, you remember Maxine, who had the spiritual perspective?
You knew all the right players, and they were all...
And I went and got all of those people and made Dr. Carol Adams. And most people do not know that when Mayor Washington got in office, he disbanded Chicago Fest. But he started what was called the Neighborhood Festival program.
Yes, and I remember
he said, let's put the Gospel Festival under the Neighborhood Festival program. So we had just come out of the battle with saving the South Shore Country Club.
Oh.
So South Shore was the great place to put the festival at the South Shore Country Club. And the city said they would only give me $5,000 for the festival. And I said, you got to be kidding. And I went to Jim Fletcher, the president of Shore Bank. And I said, Jim, you got to find me some money. And Jim became the chairman of the finance committee. And that's the sponsorship. So that's how Dr. Carol Adams had been very active in saving the country club. So we got Dr. Adams on the committee. And these people collectively became the Dorsey Gospel Committee. And so I kind of organized it the same way that we did the mayoral campaign. That's why God had me there, to learn organization.
Wow.
So he prepares you for what he wants you to do.
Yes, not what you want to do.
What you want. You think you're doing this for one reason, honey, and God has another plan. He wanted a festival, and I was the unlikely person to do it.
But look at you. You did it because it was already written. And it's already written. We're a few minutes behind our next break. We're going to take a break and come right back with the Sasha Dalton Unplugged. TheBook.com. Go check it out while we take our break.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving, doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on the Female Solution.
And we are joined today by the one and only Queen Mother, Sasha Dalton, with a book entitled Unplugged, The Story of Chicago's Gospel Musical Festival. If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, we'd love to have you. 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. If you have a question or a comment, and I do have one question here for you, Sasha, actually, let me get to this comment right quick. From my sister of the microphone, Vieta, Grand Rising Beautiful Queen Sister, yes, that breath is our life source. Thank you for this workout. Yeah, it's a physical workout with the breath in the morning, because the breath is what will keep us here and keep us conscious and keep us safe when we are attacked mentally, emotionally, physically, in any other way. Can't remember the number. What's the number? 605-515-605-6035. Press 1 to speak. But I got a question here from home. My husband said he wants to know, Tony Hogs wants to know, does Sasha still have white doves in her home?
Oh, my goodness. Who sent the plastic one? Yeah, no, I don't. I've got to get some more, though. Those birds passed on, but those are my babies. Come around? Did he ever go to my house when they were flying around? My house was like a menagerie.
Yeah, I think so. I think he was there, because otherwise it was like, how do you know that, Tony? He's like, okay, wow, I would have loved to have seen that.
One of my birds used to sit on the top of my head when I was working. I had my office at home, and she would just sit there all day.
Oh, wow. Sit on the top of your head?
Yeah.
Wow. We have a host on Female Solution, Jody Susan of Susan Essential. She has a bird called, she has two birds, and one is called Fagala, and I met them both. But Fagala, for some reason or another, likes my shoes. She likes to peck at my toes. I don't know what that's about, but I had the experience with the bird. And, you know, we sometimes look at that as odd, but our executive producer, Naima Latif, of the Female Solution, was teaching us about interspecies communication. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, like most people have dogs or cats. There's nothing wrong with having birds and hamsters or whatever else you have.
Oh, no. We always had animals.
It's a person.
We had cats and dogs and birds and parakeets.
Yeah, the whole nine yards. So I just had to share that. But getting back to the musical, the gospel musical fest, there were so many. Nowadays they talk about an experience in corporate America where you're trying to get contracts to do training for whatever your specialty is, and they want you to incorporate the word experience. The gospel fest was an experience all in itself, because you got a chance to come out and hobnob with people like Stevie Wonder and Albertina Walker and all the other greats, including yourself, who were there, who were available, and just, you know, praising God, having a good time. It just doesn't get any better than that.
Well, you know, Zelda, one of the most important things about that gospel festival is it started in the home of gospel music. And it was the nation's first major city-sponsored gospel festival. And after we moved from South Shore, we were, for 2 years we were at South Shore, and you couldn't contain the crowds anymore. And the mayor said, you've got to move it. Got to go down to Grand Park. But we had to change the name because of the city's policy that you can't name an event after a person or a corporation.
Oh.
So that's when it became the Chicago Gospel Festival. And there's a whole chapter in the book about what I went through with the committee in doing that. But here's the thing. It expanded our reach, though. CBS came in to do a segment for 60 Minutes. We attracted gospel artists from all over the country. Record companies would tell you that they would say, gospel artists, what artists are going to appear so they know whose music to stop. Reverend Milton Bingham, who was over Savoy Records, would come in and he'd say, I have to be there every year. This festival has set the standard for gospel music. People were discovered at the gospel festival. And I have a funny story in there about BB and CC Winers. I won't tell it, but it was just hysterical because they were just getting started then.
Yes.
Pastor Dan Willis and the Pentecostals were discovered at the festival. We became international. And attracted an audience from London, England. We brought over the first black choir from London. When I saw the princess's wedding, or somebody's wedding from over there, and they had this black choir, and everybody was so excited. I said, oh, my God, we had a black choir from London here in 1987. You know? We were the prize on the Wheel of Fortune. You know, I mean, it just became an international love affair with gospel music and expanded gospel music's reach. Because at this time, gospel music was making a new change then. We had the Hawkins family and Andre Crouch had opened up more in contemporary gospel music. So it was already gaining a new audience, but we just put the stamp on making it a world event, a world recognized event. And I could just go on and on. I remember one year this gentleman came to the festival with Ted Lang from Love Boat. All the celebrities used to come, Mary Wilson. You know, you didn't know who you was at the gospel festival.
Right.
And this guy was with him, and he said, they were from California, and he really wanted to support gospel, and he loved the gospel festival, and he had heard so much about it. And then he said to me, he said, you know, my wife is a gospel singer. And I said, oh, yeah? And he stood there and looked at me like I was crazy. He said, how come you don't have my wife on this festival? So I said, who is your wife? He said, Aretha. It was her husband, Glenn Turman. I didn't recognize him. But then I developed a relationship. You know, that's one of the ways I developed my relationship with Aretha Franklin. So there was so much that happened as a result of that. But you can't say that you were saving souls, but you were. You couldn't get out there and proselytize. But yes, we were. People were coming of all race and denominations and creed. And that's what was one of the more beautiful things. The last year that I was there, my last year was 1989.
Wow.
And we had 100,000 people in Grant Park.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get in. They closed the park. And there were people of all races and nationalities praising God together. That was the joy.
I remember that.
For me, yeah. You couldn't get in. And it hasn't been that level crowd since. Of course, it's moved to a smaller venue. But it was just, it set a standard for gospel music and for gospel festivals. And that was the, and then after that, of course, you had different cities start to do gospel festivals and call me, how did you get this done? How do you do that? Would you come in and consult with us? And by that time, I was on to something else. But it was just, it was quite an experience.
Your heart was Was your heart always here, or was it really in New York because you wanted, you enjoyed that one woman show?
Oh, you know what? After God gave me this assignment, I wasn't thinking about New York anymore. I never went back to pick up where I left off. I never picked up my career like I, you know, I did. I remember saying to the mayor, I've got to go back to New York. I said, I have auditions because my show had closed and I had an audition for another show that following week that I was, you know, that I should have been there. And I said, I said, do you forget I'm a singer? I said, I was laughing. I said, I could be a star. And he said, be a star at home. You couldn't tell Harold Washington no, that's for sure. So anyway, I don't regret anything, nothing. It was just, it was all wonderful. It was all a beautiful experience. And, you know, the mayor will be 100 years old this year.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we're doing a big tribute to him. But anyway, it was a glorious experience.
My husband just gave me another note. Does Sasha still sing Dinah?
No. I am going to do it. I get a lot of requests to do Dinah. I would say at least once a week. So I am going to do a big show. I'm planning a big show of Sasha Sing Dinah for my birthday this year.
And when is
and
your
that
birthday?
Will be June 25th. I'll be 75.
Oh, my goodness.
And that will be my 75th birthday celebration.
Oh, my goodness. June 25th. Please keep so we can have you back on so we can talk about that. That big celebration, that, wow. Oh,
yeah, that's
wow.
What I'd like to do. That's what I would like to do. And bring in, so I have some of my friends from, you know, that I have collected over the years to come in for the celebration, Clifton and Jennifer, and you know, and have a big show. That's what I really want to do and call it the music of my life.
Well, and I would... I would like to bring the Higher Learning Network TV crew to film that event for you.
That would be great.
Yes, we would love to do that. So thank you for allowing us to participate in it. Because you know, I love the fact that we are waking up and we are giving our elders love and flowers while they can still smell them.
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to this elder and queen mother stuff because that's just... I never looked at myself like that, but I guess I am.
You don't have to. That's who you are. Just because you're a queen doesn't mean you need to walk around saying I'm a queen. You are what you are, and your work speaks for itself. So I'm honored to be associated with Queen Mother. Now, I want to just dive into, it's 8:22. We got another 8 minutes before our next commercial break, but I want to talk about very briefly how I met you at Gospel Radio 1390 back in the day. Was that in the 90s or the 2000s? I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
It
had to be in the 90s. Gospel Radio 1390 was in the 90s. When I was on with Richard Steele.
Yes, who just celebrated a birthday, too. I think it was Saturday.
Yes, I was at his birthday celebration. It was wonderful. Richard just made 80.
Did he really? Oh, bless his soul.
It was his 80th birthday celebration.
And let me say this before I forget. I'm working on a documentary for back in the day radio, Chicago's Untold Story of Chicago Radio Personalities, because it's like some people didn't even know. Well, I won't get into that, but that's another story. Somebody just sent me a text and said, Marsha Nobles. Says, she's my friend, she's on. Oh, my goodness, she's my good friend. You know Marsha Noble?
Oh, that's my girl. Marsha and I are very good friends, and we also are church sisters, and we've been friends for years. When you know, Marsha was on jazz radio. It was,
yes.
What was that, BMX? Yeah, that's Marsha and I've known each other for years. She's wonderful, like you. But, yes, I was... I was a 1390. That had to be in the 90s, Zelda.
How did that come about? How did that come about?
Well, Richard was on the station, on the program, and they needed a co-host to fill in. And so Jackie called me and asked me, would I come in? Jackie Hasselrig, right? Would I come in and host the show for a week? Because the host of the show had to leave town or something, his co-host. And so I asked her, I said, I didn't know you all had a show. I said, what time? And she said, we're on at 6, I think it was from 6 to 10 or something. I said, honey, no, Lord, I can't do that. I can't get up that hour tomorrow. I said, no, I'm not the one. And plus, I was living in Olympia Field. And she said, I can't do that. She calls me back. Sasha, we really need you. Would you think about it? I said, Jackie, I can't do that. Plus, I have to get my daughter off to school. I just can't do it. Then the next voice I hear is Richard. Well, she knew I'm not going to tell Richard no. So Richard said, I need you to do this. I said, okay. And that's how it happened. I had to get a sitter, one of my neighbors, to come in and make sure my daughter got to school and driving in. But I really did not want to do it because it was so early in the morning. But it was a great experience. It was just wonderful. I can send Elroy a book, in fact.
Yes.
I just sent him a book last week. That was a wonderful opportunity to do that.
Wow. I would love to have
a fresh morning show.
Wow. You know, and I distinctly remember you saying, Sasha, that I don't remember what the incident was in the studio or what happened, but I distinctly remember you saying, because everybody in radio was scared of the big boss, whoever the boss was at that time, because you could just walk in, they could just walk in, have a bad day, and you're fired, you're off the air. And I love the fact that you said, honey, I don't have to do this. I do not have to be here at 6 o'clock. I could be at home in my bed in Olympia Field, turning over. I don't have to do this. So I ain't got to kiss nobody's no nothing.
Did I say that?
From the moment when you said that, I was like, yes, a real sister up in here. That she don't care nothing about who the boss is, the boss's boss, if he had a bad day, he didn't get none tonight, for whatever.
I was always getting in some trouble with Marv because I had never done that level radio before. And so, I'm like, what comes up, comes out. And and at that time, we were doing a lot of, Richard and I were doing a lot of risque things on the air. And someone at the time, we were saying a lot of crazy things. And now they naturally say, and back then it was like, you can't say that. Richard and I did. We kind of stretched the button, but I was doing the brunch at the gospel at the House of Blues, and Al Green was going to be appearing.
Uh-huh.
And so someone called in and said, Sister Sasha, do you know if Al Green is going to be doing gospel or blues at the House of Blues? I said, I don't know. I can't imagine him doing blue gospel. I'm sure he's going to be doing his blue, his R&B show. So then the caller said, is he still a pastor? I said, I think so. Do you know the name of his church? I said, Greater Grits Missionary Baptist Church. Well, oh my God, when I said that, the red line lit up and Ma said, one more time and you're gone. I said, I think his church is Greater Grits.
Right now.
Because, he had that incident with the woman with the grits. And so I called his church Greater Grits. And Myra said, okay, so.
Oh, yeah. We ain't having that no more. We was calling
now. Now, they say that kind of stuff all the time. It's no big deal.
Right. It's like, what's the big doggone deal?
Right.
It is,
I enjoyed those days, though.
I know. It was nothing like it. It was just, back in the day and with Herb Kent, the Cool Gent, and all the Rich McGee and those who came before me, Yvonne Daniels, let's not leave out the women now, Jackie Hasselrig, who was responsible for bringing me over to WGCI, because all
the
men.
Oh, yeah, wasn't Jackie wonderful? There's so much in the book about Jackie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot in the book about Jackie.
She was a trailblazer.
She really was. She really was. As was Bernadine C. Washington. She participated with the Gospel Festival. I tried not to leave anybody out. You know, I tried to remember every person that was really, had done something that had helped to make that. It wasn't something I did by myself. It took a committee of people. It took sponsorship. You know, it was our mission. I mean, God just put me at the beginning of it, you know, as leader, so to speak. But
right.
Every single person, I say, it wouldn't have happened without you, because everyone had a very integral part. Reverend Ray Berry Hill.
Yes.
Oh, my God, there's so much in there about Pastor Hill. Michael Shaw, Reverend Evans. I had a chance to read to Reverend Evans everything that I had written about him in the book before he passed. I did. And when I called to get the appointment to go out to see him, his housekeeper said, "Now, we're going to give you a date, Sasha, but Reverend is kind of sick and he may not know who you are. But don't feel bad." And I said, "I won't stay long. I just want to talk to him for a few minutes," because I loved Reverend Evans so much. And so when I walked in the room, he said, "My friend, Sasha Dalton," and we sat down and laughed and talked. And I read to him everything I wrote about him in the book. And he just held my hand and said, my, you really mean that.
Yeah,
what an experience to be that close to him. And Albertina, oh, my God. I the Barrett sisters.
Yes.
Dr. Bobby Jones. I just sent him his book yesterday.
Yes. I miss
Alvin
all.
Brown. You know, people who you don't think would have made a difference. Penny Tyler.
Yes.
Penny Tyler from the Jazz Festival. Penny played a very big role.
Yes.
With me, so... It took that to make it 35 years still here. And also, we had the pandemic last year.
Mm.
Well, for 2 years, they couldn't do the festival. And last year, God bless the commissioner, they did 1 day of jazz, partial jazz, blues, and gospel. And the city honored me as the founder. And that was so nice. You know, of him to do that. Mark Kelly, what a great guy. And our mayor, you know, she gave us a proclamation, Mayor Lightfoot. So it's all been a blessing.
Deservedly so. Excuse me. We have a comment. Naima Latif says, "Grand Rising, beautiful queen teacher, this is a fabulous show. I learned so much history I didn't know. Thank you, sister." Sasha Dalton, yes. Thank you, because we are...
I really encourage people to get the book, not only because it's about the Gospel Festival, but it's so much in here about politics and Harold Washington and the history in Chicago. Because I had to tell the story in order to go from 1 year to the next. It was all about the politics.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Especially after Mayor Washington died.
Yes.
And then Mayor Sawyer came in, Mayor Eugene Sawyer, and then Mayor Daley, when they tried to kick me out and cancel the festival. That was funny.
Hey.
But, you know, and what that cost me
when I
challenged the city and said, no, you have to keep this festival. And I challenged the city with their decision. And I paid a pretty heavy price for that.
Mm.
But it wasn't about me as much as it's about this was God's music and it had to continue. And God was going to bless me in another way anyway. So, you know.
Always
but no,
do.
You're not going to cancel this festival.
Okay.
And people don't know if it weren't for Reverend Evans, it wouldn't be there today.
Thank you. 8:34 on the Female Solution. Our last half hour coming up, we're speaking with Queen Mother Sasha Dalton. Unplugged, the untold story of Chicago's Gospel Musical Fest. Be sure and check it out on the website. And when we go to break, it is unpluggedthebook.com. Check it out. We'll be right back. Stay close.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insights, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Invite you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Fusan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Weaver Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time, for Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host at
And thank you for joining us back here on The Female Solution. Excuse me, I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and we are joined back for this last half hour together. Excuse me. I'm so excited, the words are stuck in my throat. Our very own Queen Mother, Sasha Dalton, Unplugged, of Chicago's Gospel. Don't have the book, shame on you. It is not too late. You can still get it at unpluggedthebook.com. So you
yes,
can check.
Yes, Zelda, and you have to put, you have to use www.unplugthebook.com.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem. I will put that on the screen as
and
well.
From now until Black History Month, any books that are sold, a donation from every book will go to the Harold Washington Legacy Committee.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes, it will go to the Harold Washington Legacy Committee. So they do things to try to keep the mayor's memory alive.
Yeah.
And I am on the committee for the big birthday celebration, which will be April 14th, and I'll be able to give you more information on that for your audience in the next couple of weeks. And,
okay.
So Chicago's going to really honor the mayor this year. Hmm?
What was that date again?
April 14th.
April 14th.
His birthday is actually the 15th, but, excuse me, that's Good Friday.
Good Friday, okay.
Yeah, so it will be doing something on the 14th at the Harold Washington Library downtown.
Okay.
And the so there are a lot of great things. Roosevelt University has instituted a scholarship in his name.
Mm.
And so that will keep his legacy alive. And we have to remember, you know, what we did in 7 months. We turned the city around and put in the first black mayor. And
yes.
I say all of this because were it not for him, it wouldn't be a gospel festival, nor would it be a Dr. King breakfast every year. And this year, of course, it's going to be virtual, but it's in its 37th year. And that's because of Harold Washington. He did remarkable things when he was there for us. And these are two of the events that started under his administration that are still going on. And I'm just proud to say that I contributed to the first. I gave the seed for the idea for the first and produced the second one. And you know, it's funny how God takes things back because for the last year, with this pandemic, the city did not have the major festivals. So what did they do? They gave people money to do festivals in their neighborhoods. And that's how it all started with Mayor Washington under a program called Neighborhood Festivals Program. So, you know, we made a full circle because of that situation.
Right.
Maybe they'll keep it and let it continue because it was very successful. So we'll see. But anyway, remember Harold Washington. This is the year of Harold Washington, and he made one. He will be 100 years this year.
One?
Because of him.
Wow.
Yes. This is and because of him, I sit here today. And I'm able to talk about a gospel festival that is still going on.
We are here on the shoulders of those who came before us to make our way possible. And that's
absolutely
why I'm always for the elders. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Say that again, Sasha.
I said absolutely.
Yes.
We are on the shoulders of other people.
Oh. We're getting comments from our Facebook pages. Yvonne Robinson says, awesome show. Thanks for the Chicago Her Story lesson. I love it. Yes. It is the story of a female leader in the city of Chicago because men always get kudos. Nothing against the men.
Yeah.
We just.
But you know what? We have to tell our story. We, as black people, we have to tell the story. That's what I love about Juliana Richardson's organization, The History Makers, because she tells the story. You tell your story from the first person, not the third person, and not somebody that's been reading about you and decided that they know everything about you, so they're going to tell your story. No, we as black people, we have to write what we do, and we have to share that information. And when we think about it, you know, when a person thinks about it, each one of us has done some great and marvelous things. And share those stories with your children, with your family. My daughter, she's 35 now. But when she was little, I used to make her listen to Dinah Washington and Billie Holiday. And I had a box of all of the clippings of that were going on in the news from when the mayor was running. And she said, "Mommy, why do you keep all this stuff?" I said, "This is your high school box, because when you get to high school, you may need all of this." Well, sure enough, she did. But I used to get so much joy out of her listening. You know, she used to say, "You're ear hustling, Mama." But I hear her talking to her friends about Mayor Washington and Chicago. And no, that song wasn't started by him. That song was started by Dinah Washington. But, you know, or talking about, you know, just stories of people that she's met. So you have to, we have to write our history.
Mm-hmm.
And tell the story. I don't want anybody to try to tell the story of how the gospel first was started, because they don't know. You
right.
know, and I listened. And that was one of the things that really encouraged me, is because I would listen to what people were saying about the gospel festival. And my daughter would say, "Mama, you better write a book, because this is not right." And I said, "Okay, I don't need to be lazy. I do have a responsibility to share
yes.
this history." And that's what it is, a responsibility. So anybody that comes after me, you know, they know how it started. I'm not afraid to mention that Ransom Boykin walked in the office and said he needed a letter, because if Ransom had never come in there, it wouldn't have been a festival for Thomas Joyce's.
Right.
Ransom played a very big part in that.
Right.
And we have to recognize people for who they are and what they do.
Right. Well, I'm so glad that you took the time out of your schedule to compile this information, because there's a whole lot of it. I got all these points that I want to talk about. I ain't talking about none of them, but I'm so caught up in the conversation.
Zelda, I so appreciate you for having me on the show. This is wonderful. This just says to me that I have to get up earlier in the morning and be involved.
Yeah, well, you know, we can always record when you're not available, so that's
watch your show. This is wonderful. We have to support one another, and that's great.
Can I
show the picture of Dorsey and the mayor?
Say that again?
Can you show the picture of Thomas Dorsey and Mayor Washington?
Okay, I got to find that. Excuse me, that is in my notes here, so you can just continue to talk until I find it, because that's in chapter, was that in chapter 1 or chapter 2?
Oh, no, there's a picture on the website
of Dorsey.
The picture of Dorsey and the mayor.
Okay, so,
that's a historical picture, and I'm going to, you know, hope that people really pay attention to that. That may be one of the last pictures that Professor Dorsey took.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm in the website now, Unplug the Book, and I'm scrolling down, and I'm not, oh, maybe I need to accept the cookies. Maybe that's what it is.
Or go to the, look, I'm pointing to the screen like you can see me.
I'm looking about the Festival Commons Gallery. Maybe it's in the gallery. Okay.
It's in the gallery, yes.
Okay, so I'm clicking on the gallery now. And here we come. The Honorable Harold Washington, Mayor of Chicago, 1983 to 1987. As I am scrolling up, Thomas Dorsey and Mayor Harold Washington. There we go. All right. Can you see it there? Yeah, there you
yes,
go.
Yes, I see the mayor, yeah.
And there's the Gospel Musical Festival. Thomas A. Dorsey Gospel Tribute, yes.
You know what we did at one night? We put together a Dorsey Gospel Choir. and closed Lakeshore Drive, and the choir marched into the park singing Dorsey songs. But what was most significant about that was that it rained, and the women and people were praying that the rain would stop, and it did. And at the meeting, we found out. Well, this was the year we had 100,000 people at Grand Park.
I see them in the rain and all the umbrellas. They just stood right out there.
That was the year we had 60,000. That's Clifton Davis singing. But they couldn't believe that. Yeah, it was 60,000 people in the rain. That was the year Al Green performed too, and it was a torrential rainstorm, and people stayed. But they couldn't believe that the day would come when they would march down Lakeshore Drive and it would be closed for Black Choir. Because at one time, you couldn't go to South Shore unless you were doing day work.
You sure couldn't?
Now, this was the year that you couldn't get in Grand Park for the audience capacity.
Jam-packed. Yes. Wow.
Well, the thing about it is there was never an incident. People were happy.
Never an incident.
Nobody, this is the choir marching down. 125 people were in the choir. And I got the idea because Ayo Kassan and Bob Mays were over the choir and Lena McClain. And they were singing It's a Highway to Heaven. And I had this vision of the choir marching. And I said, we should close Lakeshore Drive and have the choir marching to the country club. And it never occurred to me that we couldn't do it, because one thing about it, when Harold Washington was mayor, we felt like we could do anything.
Okay.
I can't imagine not being able to, Harold Washington is the mayor, we can do anything. And we did. We closed Lakeshore Drive for 2 years. And
wow.
The choir marched into the park.
Wow.
That was a piece of history.
Wow. I just got a text from a friend, Loren. She says, Sasha is my Aunt Christine's friend. She wrote her book. Who, you know who Aunt Christine is?
Oh, Christine Houston did not write, I don't know what book she's talking about, but Christine Houston is one of my dearest friends. Christine wrote the sitcom 227.
Yes. University of Chicago, She teaches there, yes.
And I do nothing without Christine. Christine and I are very, very, very close. Actually, she and my mother were friends, and we became very good friends. And she's just a great writer. She has a book out also. Called Laughing Through the Tears, about her experience with her husband when he had Alzheimer's. So, yes, I know Chris, but Chris didn't write my book, but she gave me a book sign. I wrote my book, but she did do a book signing for me.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
excuse me. We got to take a couple of calls before we leave. 706-202. Grand Rising, where are you calling from? What's your name? Where are you calling from? And thank you for joining us this morning with Sasha Dalton, Queen Mother Sasha Dalton, author of
the... And greetings to Queen Mother and to you, Zelda, and to tap in late, but to be in divine order. I grew up in Chicago, and I grew up on 44th and Calumet. When we first came into Chicago, and that's where Harold Washington lived. And remember, we have block parties, and used to see him going to Rose on his way to the L to catch it to go to school at Roosevelt. And it's honor to hear that Roosevelt is acknowledging him. But the other part was great is that I have posters, and I've given my daughters jazz posters that says Harold Washington and Eugene Sawyer were mayors of Chicago when the jazz festival was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are historical artifacts that validates, you know, our ancestors. And even to the point now that they have a new series on television talking about Abbott School, Abbott Elementary. But nobody's really talking about, I think it's Air Force Academy now, but it was Robert S. Abbott, the founder of the Defender, right there on 37th and Wells. And they've changed the name, Comiskey Park. Well, the new White Sox Park is right next to it. They couldn't tear it down because it was a historical site. And I'm wondering, have they, I know on last time I was in Chicago, the building still stands there, 4423, where my parents used to live at. And wondering, is Harold Washington's building that his parents and he lived in, could that have been a historical site in Brownsville?
As I understand it, there are some plans underway to make that a landmark and historical site. I will do a little research on that, and I'll let Zelda know, but the last that I understood was from someone on the Harold Washington Committee is that that is in the process of happening.
Right.
Well, that's good to know, because I didn't know anything about that. Thank you, Baba Kwame Sunhorse, originally from Chicago, but now had the sense to move to Georgia somewhere warm. Somebody got sense enough to get up out of Chicago because it's cold. And why am I complaining? I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's cold. But anyway, thank you so much for calling in and for sharing that information. It is phenomenal that we have history in the making right here. We are living it, but we're also making it. That is within itself something that we can celebrate. And we are celebrating the ancestors. We're celebrating our elders. We are celebrating the Reverend Clay Evans, Albertina Walker, Thomas Dorsey. I didn't even know who he was before I got into radio. I'm embarrassed to say, because I always wanted to do talk radio. So it's like I didn't know, so I had to do a little homework. And the more I found out about Thomas Dorsey, I was like, wow, this man is all over the place. South side, west side, he's everywhere. So I want to thank you for bringing that information to our attention. Because our young people need to know that. They know about all the rappers and everything else, but they don't know the history of where the music came from that they benefit from today. So thank the elders.
May I say something, Zelda? We are such a great city, and there's so much history in the city from the entertainers who have made a contribution, who have made major contributions to music, who attended, many attended Chicago public schools.
Yes.
Nat King Cole, just a host of them, Gene Ammons. But we have influenced music. Chicago has. Chicago black people have influenced music worldwide, from gospel to jazz to blues to classical. We all came from Chicago. The ministers, the clergy that had, one of the first ministers to be on radio was preacher from Cobb. So much history in this city. I mean, even the businesses, the black businesses. We had a black bank. We have to share our history. We have to tell the story, and we must write it down. And these people are the ones who laid the groundwork. And many of them, their families are still here, and there's no reason that anyone should not know what this history is and what Chicago, how important Chicago is to world history.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely a secret until today. Please ignore the
website at www.naimalatif.com.
Thank you, ending. But I have to play it. It's 8:57. If we're going to stay on the show and do the after show with executive producer Naima Latif, who comes on at 9 o'clock. So if you have questions, you need to push 1 on your switchboard right now, because the board will not allow you to ask questions after the 9 o'clock hour. But if we're still live on Facebook,
family listening,
HLN TV One, and on our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV Show. But before we go, I want to thank you for the wonderful idea, Sasha, as we celebrate 100 years former Mayor Harold Washington. We have, at the Higher Learning Network, we have what's called the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which airs every last Saturday of the month on our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV Show. And this year, because of the information that you have just given us, I think that we will be participating as a scholarship in honor of the former Mayor Harold Washington. Thank you. Thank you.
Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. So
up at the end. That's the end of the show. But right now, before you leave, if you can hang around, I would like for you to be engaged in the conversation with our executive producer, Naima Latif, because she just brings it home. This is what's referred to as the after show. It is now 9 a.m. exactly, and I want to welcome executive producer of the Female Solution, and that is Naima Latif. Naima, welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. We still have, wow, the lines are lit up. Now, at the end of the show, everybody, what's coming, right? So that's a good thing. So let's try to take a couple of more calls before we end this show. 779-801, you are live on the Female Solution, Grand Rising. Who's this? What's your name? Where are you calling from? 779.
Grand Rising, this is Maika. How
Maika.
Are you?
Hey. Hey.
This is one of those times when I really didn't have anything to say. I just wanted to participate in the after show.
And
greetings to your guests.
Yes, Sasha, are you still with us or did you leave?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Tell them who Maika is, Naima.
Well, Maika is connected to some major history. She was involved in the civil rights struggle, certainly is an author in her own right and a healer, an EFT practitioner. She was one of our hosts on the Female Solution and shared much of the history of her late husband, Reverend James Bevel, and his organizing efforts in the civil rights struggle as one of Dr. King's major strategists. So we've been getting so many history lessons from Maika, as well as her insight on energy healing. And lately, of course, she has been educating us on the importance of farming. She's been hands-on out in the farm areas and took a group of us out there to help with the berry picking a couple of summers ago, so we could really understand the whole business and enterprise of growing your own food. So she has just been a wealth of knowledge and insight and information, and we always appreciate her comments when she calls in and participates on the Female Solution.
Well, thank you, Holly. Well, that was a great introduction.
Yes,
appreciate
yes. it. Maika is an awesome sister. She is part of the Female Solution. And where would we be without her? Let me tell you very quickly. I had an incident a while last year sometime where my back went out, and I had to do some tapping. And who was the first person I called? I did not go to the emergency room. I called Maika because I know this is all emotional and mental that's going on. So I want to thank you personally, Maika, for the tapping session and how you saved me a trip to the doctor, not only to the doctor, but the misuse or abuse of opioids, because pills only combat, they only put a Band-Aid on the pain. We got to get to the real nitty-gritty of what's
right.
going on with us mentally and emotionally. We all got trauma that's stored in our tissues. What they say, we got issues in our tissues? Yeah, well,
yeah.
Well, we all have them. So
I want to say on that. I've recently been incorporated by some healers in the city to help youth suicide victims.
Ooh.
And we've had success in helping to bring suicide, not victims, but attempters, let's say,
survivors,
to a state of balance, because it's a mental illness, and that mental illness is caused by overabundance of toxic emotions, which then filter into the brain and cause imbalances. So by releasing the toxic emotions, they've been able to come back to homeostasis in their lives.
Oh, wow. Toxic emotions. And Lord knows we all have some of those, because we have trauma we've never dealt with, and we just keep having more trauma, and it just keeps piling up, and one day we just explode. So thank you for that.
That's what happened.
I had no idea that I'm listening to the news, and I had no idea that there were so many veterans who are committing suicide, and children, young people who are committing suicide because they don't have access to mental health facilities because they've all been cut out.
Yeah. Even the mental health programs, we're not dealing with the emotional cause of the problem. You have to deal with the emotions when you want to heal mental illness.
And then we're told, oh, bury it. Well, we don't talk about those things. Well, you need to talk about them, because when we don't, it buries it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Naima.
Interesting. As I heard Ms. Sasha Dalton, our dear sister, mother, queen, mother, Sasha Dalton, speak about the gospel festival and the fact that there was never an incident at those festivals.
Not a one.
Music carries an energy, and gospel music has a healing energy.
Yes.
And as she was speaking, the thought came to me, and I'm going to just throw this out in the universe, whoever picks it up, who's ever, this is something that resonates with you. But I'm thinking of all of these areas where we're having conflict and there's violence and there's fear. If somebody wants to do like a mobile gospel ministry and just drive to those areas and play on their loudspeaker some soothing, healing music, that will change the energy in those areas.
Ah.
And I believe that's because everything first starts on the energy level. Just like Naik talking about your body. First, it's the toxic emotion, it's the energy that you put into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Before it manifests in a physical illness in yourself, it's first the energy of your emotions that's negative. And so if we can change the energy in an area, that's the beginning. And then we can begin to help people with addressing their feelings that lead to their behavior. Mm. But we got to change the energy. And the thoughts and emotions that you have, you actually put negative energy out into the universe when you're angry, when you're fearful, when you're resentful, and that becomes part of the atmosphere. So we can change that with some music that has healing powers, like gospel.
Mm.
And so I believe that this is really a great opportunity for us to use science that we're now becoming aware of to change the conditions in our city. So what we saw with the gospel festival, let's take that to every place in the city where we're having challenges and people angry and fearful and sad and all of those negative toxic emotions, and change the energy so that their emotions can be one of love and peace, because that's what gospel music does for them.
It does. It does just that. And as I sit here and look at all this crowd from the 1989 Chicago Gospel Festival in Grant Park, over 1,000 people attended. And do you see all you can see is people just sitting there enjoying the vibrational forces of that gospel music that's in your soul, that's in your spirit. It just it overtakes you. It overcomes you because it's real and genuine, and it comes from a place of pure love and peace. And like you said, no incidents, not a one. Nobody, if somebody stepped on a shoe and is like, oh, go ahead, child. Oh, we listened to Al Green or whoever, or Thomas Thorson Choir, it did not matter, because what was important was the message that was being shared, and we were all in tune with that message. What can we do today, Sasha, to bring that message back?
Well, times have certainly changed in the way we are presenting things.
Yes.
Assuming there would be no pandemic, I would love to see some things done. And I would really like to see them done on the South Side.
Yes, yes.
Back where it all began. But let me add something else, too, about the festival. It was a family event.
Yes.
People brought their children.
Yes.
They brought their children. And when we were doing it at the South Shore, it was always on Father's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And the fathers were there with their children and balloons and bringing baskets. And we had vendors, of course. But to see those children seeing Harold and Dorsey, and you know, it was a magical time, and I think we can do it again.
I know
we
can
do that again.
I have
some ideas, but you know, I would love to share them with the city, because I went through quite a bit with for a couple of years. They were trying to combine the gospel with the blues festival.
Oh,
no. And I fought that ferociously.
No, I don't know about that one.
The audience profiles didn't match.
Yeah.
They did not match. They did not match. Or the message.
Well maybe our Mayor Lightfoot will get a hold of this and hear this and maybe do something of that nature to bring it back to the Neighborhood Fest, because she
bring
needs
me back as a consultant.
Say it again.
I would love to do it one more time and with
yeah.
new ideas, you know, or share
yeah.
those ideas, because you have to have the community involved. We had a committee of 200 volunteers. I didn't just get those people there. You know,
yeah.
we had people working to get them there. It
yeah.
wasn't me. It wasn't me alone. We had a
right.
Dorsey committee of people that did this, and that's
yeah.
what made it so special.
Yeah.
It was everybody's festival.
Right.
It didn't just belong to me. It,
yeah, it didn't
or
matter
the
what
talent committee.
Right.
It was
right.
the people's event. Yeah.
Right.
And I think she would be, Mayor Lightfoot would love to be able to leave a legacy with all the chaos and confusion that's going on in her administration, that this would do her good to bring this festival back to the neighborhood. She wants to be known, and I'm sure, and because you know it's an uphill battle being a woman, number one, but then to be a mayor of a major city like that, yeah, she needs a legacy. So maybe she'll hear this, Mayor Lightfoot, and you know, let's get it back in the where it started at.
Yeah. Well, I
right.
think that's important to think of a positive legacy to leave. Because Chicago right now, its reputation globally is not looking good. So
no.
So we need to do something different. You know, this is it's too much emphasis that the world has seen. So we got to pull our artists together, you know, our performing artists, because those are the people who bring joy. Those are the people who actually can influence the masses of people. Whether it's the comedians that bring laughter, the artists that bring music, we have to pull our creative community together and change
I'm on the
it in Chicago and open doors for some of these unknown artists. Now, a young gospel rap artist that I met a couple of months ago happened to call me last night and said, "You said you're going to put me on your radio show." And so I'm thinking, okay, there are no coincidences. So I'm probably going to have him on our Wednesday show, because he represents a new generation of the same spirit of the music, but a different format that touches the youth. And
yes.
that's what we
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes,
I am, on that note, I am on the board of an organization, the Southside Jazz Coalition, and one of our missions is to bring jazz back to the Southside. And I wrote an article in a magazine about, because we honored Jimmy Ellis before he died, and Herman Roberts. I wrote a show called Closing Night at Roberts Show Lounge. And during that time, musicians were able to work in the neighborhood. 63rd Street was called the Street of Dreams. Every place you went, there was a club, and music was flourishing. And yes, we have to do that. We have no real, not enough jazz clubs in Chicago to perpetuate jazz music. And that's one of our contributions, is jazz music, blues music. So I agree with whoever that was that's speaking. We have to bring the music back. I am now working with Dinah Washington's niece, Kristen Atkins, to help her put together a show on her aunt.
Oh!
Yes, and we will be doing that this summer.
Oh, please keep me posted on that. I want to be
part of it. I will. She's a wonderful singer. She's a wonderful young woman.
I met her.
And Dinah's sister is still alive,
yes.
Clarissa Smith. And I'm also working behind the scenes to get a docu-movie on, a biopic on Dinah.
Go ahead.
That needs to be done. You know, there's been talk of Mary J. Blige doing it. But the important thing here is tell the story right.
Right.
Tell the story of this woman and the history that she made and her legacy. And they're doing all of these biopics. And so let's do one on Dinah Washington.
Amen. Yeah. Isn't that the last, I believe that's the last festival that I saw you at in the summertime where there was an event for Dinah Washington. It was down near, what was the school on 39th Street?
When they did her street naming.
Yes.
Yeah, when they named the street Dinah Washington, yes. And I'm very, very close to that family.
Yeah.
And they're a wonderful family. And Dinah, you know, Dinah held the distinction of being the most recorded female of her time. And we just have to tell the story.
Yes.
So.
That's why it's important who tells the story.
Yes.
Like you say, you can have people who heard of you and read some things, and then they put a string of piece together, but it's not accurate. So it really needs to be people who know. And were there. I got a question, though. You mentioned Christine. I'm trying to remember, because I remember when I believe this was, what's her name that was the star of 227?
Marla Gibbs
came to Chicago, and my husband and I, we had dinner with her, and I'm thinking it seems like you said it was Christine who was the writer of that series. So I'm thinking I met her during that time, because they were just telling us the whole history of, you know, the struggle of getting the network to have her character have a husband, because first they wanted her to be, you know, the stereotypical, you know, single black female with children, and
right.
He said, no, I want to have a husband, and he's going to be a businessman, so they really pushed for that. I'm thinking I met her during that time when Marla Gibbs came to Chicago.
Christine, yes.
She's a wonderful person, and she teaches screenwriting at Chicago State University.
Yes.
And she's very active in the industry. And just a terrific person. And 227 was actually a play that was about her building that she used to live in at 227 East 48th Street.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 227 East 48th Place. And I used to live at 828 East 47th Street. Wow. What a coincidence. And I found out about Christine from my girlfriend, Troy Tyler. From
oh, yeah, Troy.
Troy teaches. Troy is the program director at for radio at Chicago State. And she invited me out to listen to the story of how Christine said exactly what you just said, Sasha, about the it being a play in her home and the hassles and things of that nature. She shared that story, so that was very enlightening to actually meet her and to hear the story behind the story.
Yeah, when Chris wrote that story, she was going to Kennedy King College. And she wrote that, and it won the Norman Lear Award. And
wow.
As a result of that, it ended up as a TV sitcom.
Isn't that something?
So you never know what God's going to do.
You sure don't. It reminds me of, I think I was in the sixth or seventh grade in Mississippi when I was shipped south to live with my aunt when my mom died, and we had to live on a sharecropper's farm. And I was a depressed child at the time because I felt abandoned. I didn't feel loved. Nobody wanted me. So writing was my outlet. It was my mental therapy. And I wrote a story. I don't even remember what the story is about, but they turned the story into a play in the seventh grade. And I was like, wow. I don't remember any of that. I guess I just wiped that out. It's in my tissues, my issue. That might be my back problem. I don't know. But
you'll find it one day.
Yeah, I'll find it one day. But finding this book, unpluggedthebook.com at www.unpluggedthebook.com is a must read. You must get this book. This should be in every family's library because this is not only the story of the Chicago Musical Festival. It is her story of Chicago. And we don't know half the things that went on. I'm so excited. I'm on chapter one. I need to get off this so I can finish reading chapter two and read the rest of the book. It's off, as the children say, it's off the chain, baby. You will learn some things like, really? Oh, okay.
You know, it's interesting to find out how things are so politicized.
Yes.
And the fact that we've had to really fight for our culture to be honored in this way.
Yes.
But, you know,
yes,
everything down to money, you know, who gets paid and all of that. So just fighting for those artists to get the kind of recognition that other kinds of festivals and other artists have been getting. I mean, I tip my hat, you know, and everything else to Sasha Dalton for making that happen. Because, you know, we see our artists selling records and doing concerts, but often we're not realizing the value of our culture and how it does impact the world. So to put it on stage like this and have this major festival in Chicago like this, it really helps remind us that we are influencing the world culture, and something like gospel music is really sending a message to humanity that humanity needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was just groundbreaking in itself, because, you know, there was a time that gospel music was not included in the you know, Grammy.
No.
So we're constantly coming up with new artistic forms, and they're being included in all of the other forms that are being honored. I mean, we're creative people. So now, gospel music, that's a major industry. I mean, in a lot of ways, revitalized the music industry and everything else. So, yeah, and now we got all kind of movies, you know, movie on Aretha and, you know, so many gospel artists and
Whitney, who started in gospel.
So Sasha Dalton, tell us, when they do your biopic, what actress do you want to play you?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. Can you repeat that, please?
I said, when they do a biopic, on your life on screen.
Oh, my God.
Or do you want to play you?
Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett. Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Well,
Angela
I'll just Bassett. Say the right person. I don't know. I never even thought about that. Isn't
yeah,
that something?
What you say, Tony?
Tony,
come here, Tony. Tony, you said Aretha chose.
She chose who she wanted to play her.
Oh, Aretha Franklin chose who she wanted to play her. Yeah, Jennifer Hudson.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
I have a chapter in the book about Willie Wilson's TV show Sensation.
Oh.
Because,
oh, and what chapter is
yeah,
that?
I have a whole section. Well, it's not a chapter, but it's a whole section of how that started. And what happened was my friend Valerie Norman was hired. Val was hired to be the producer of the show. And she called me and she said, I just got hired to produce this new gospel show. Sensation, but I have to find a host, and I just can't think of anyone to get. She said it has to be a person who knows gospel music, who's conversational, who can also sing, and I'm just kind of at a loss. I said, there's only one person that can do that, and that's Vicki Wyman.
Okay.
And she said, well, I don't know, Vicki. I said, I do. Let me call her. And so I called Vicki and I said, can we come and talk to you? We caught a flight. I ran and got my daughter out of school. We caught a 4 o'clock flight, went to Detroit. Valerie met with her husband, Marvin, Reverend Marvin. He wasn't pastoring then.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicki and sealed the deal. So on the way back, I had an idea, and I said, you know, if Vicki's going to be the host of the show, and why don't you put all of the Winans on her show? Why don't I put them on the first show, and I'll put them on the festival? And I did. And that was the first time the whole Winans family appeared in performance at the 5th annual Chicago Gospel Festival.
I remember seeing that, because I was like, wow, I didn't know there were so many of them. You know, they promoted PB and CC so much. It's like, man, it's 15 or 20 of them.
Yeah, they got a whole choir.
They got a choir within a choir.
We had the sisters. They were doing background. It was unbelievable. And I remember, I always kind of think outside the box, and I had been looking at this show on PBS, The Gospel at Kelowna. And I said, I got to put that on the festival. And I flew to New York for their closing night performance and made the deal with the producers to do an excerpt of the gospel at Kelowna's on the gospel festivals, on the 4th gospel festival. As soon as I said Chicago Gospel Festival, they said, yes, no royalties. Because they were planning to come to Chicago in a couple of years to do the... to appear at the Goodman Theater. And that went over so big at the festival to do an excerpt of a Broadway show on the Gospel Festival. And it was just unbelievable. And we had Morgan Freeman wasn't able to come. He had a prior commitment. And we got an actor to do his part, G-Raw. Do you know G-Raw? Do you remember him? G-Rod did the Morgan Freeman piece, and it was just unbelievable. Then another year, we did a tribute to gospel songwriters, and I had Clifton Davis and Roz Ryan narrated and featured the music of gospel songwriters Herbert Brewster, Dorsey, and Marvin Yancey. And it was just fabulous, and Jennifer did a tribute to Mahalia, Jennifer Holliday.
Oh, okay.
So we brought a little bit of, because, you know, during that time, too, you were not getting a lot of secular artists appearing on gospel events.
No.
But that did not mean that they weren't gospel religious people.
Right.
And so I brought in different people to do things on the festival who were rooted in gospel. And I said to the committee, if we're going to fill up Grant Park, we've got to expand our reach.
Yeah.
And we have to get more people. And that's how Clifton got on, because Clifton was at the time on Amen.
Yes.
But he's also a minister.
Yeah.
And has a Master's of Divinity. And when he got on that show, he was actually a co-pastor of a church in Loma Linda, California. And that's how I met Clifton and became his agent, actually, his agent for performances. And
really?
I worked with Clifton for 5 years, and that's how that happened, yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So.
How powerful is that? Wow. And Clifton Davis was really in the limelight as a minister at the time. And it's something, I didn't even know he was a minister. I just thought he was an actor.
Mm-mm.
We didn't know that.
No. And so, of course, people wanted to see this man, Clifton Davis, who was also on television. I had Billy Preston there. And we integrated it. You know, we weren't the only ones to sing gospel music. So I put other, you know, artists on, even did gospel theater. On the early stage. So it was quite an experience, and all of that helped us to also get a larger audience there.
Yeah, and it was definitely an experience. And speaking of experience, we have another sister who has been in the gospel industry ever since I've known her, and that would be Pam Morris, and she's going to be joining us next week. She's going to be joining us next Monday on Monday Morning Mindfulness. And Pam sent me a text. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm loving the show, but I got to go. She had to leave at 8:30.
Oh, yeah.
So Pam Morris.
Pam replaced me. Pam came in the year after I left.
Oh.
And, yeah. So she came in 1990, and I think she did it for about 20 years.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
I wish we could have gotten her on the show. But see, she's going to be on next week. Maybe you can call back in and maybe chat a little bit if you're available that early in the morning.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay,
good. I would love to.
Please call back in. Honey, we will continue this conversation with another sister of the microphone. And right now I want to remind you that the Homeless Project, speaking of microphones, I got to always talk about it. The Homeless Project is in full force. We delivered our first generator of the year for the residents of Tent City. For those who don't know, in 2019? I think it was 2019, February 18th, 2019. My little brother, Douglas Robinson, was murdered in Tent City by another homeless man. He was homeless, too.
Oh, yeah,
he was murdered by a man, and I had no idea that there was such an epidemic of homelessness in the world, especially in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so after so many homeless people showed up at his funeral, I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. So I made a commitment that day that we would help those residents of Tent City by taking them food, blankets, coats, hats, gloves, shoes, whatever we could get our hands on, and we just
delivered our fourth generator so that they could stay warm in the winter.
Yeah. So
wow.
Thank you for all the donations that you send in, and please keep sending them in. Our PayPal address is higherlearningnw@yahoo.com, and you can always call us at 312-409-6619 if you want information, and also you can email us hlntvshow@gmail.com. We are not doing this just because it's cold outside. We do this year round because people are homeless year round.
Am I my brother's keeper? Yes,
yes,
I am.
You are your brother's keeper. That's the way
yes.
We are our brother's keeper and our sister's keepers. We are responsible. We can't wait on the government to give them shelter because it's not going to happen. We see that. It's growing.
Right.
So that's what we do. And your donations are tax deductible. As you can see on the bottom of the screen there, the information about the homeless. So please share this video. If you got a dollar, if you got a quarter, if you got $100,000, send it to us. It's tax
deductible. I will totally contribute to that, Zelda.
Thank you. Thank you. So on behalf
I just had an idea. We'll talk about it after we get off the air.
Okay. Wonderful. 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 Because this is an ongoing project. It is 9:34. We usually end at 9:30. So we're going to have Naima close us out with what we can expect for. Oh, tomorrow I know it's self-care with Jody Susan on the female. What can we expect on Wednesday, Naima?
Well, Wednesday, we've got a treat. We are talking about breaking barriers, and we have one of the Black bull riders that is going to be joining us, talking about expanding our vision and daring to dream and leave someone who's the age of two knew he wanted to be a cowboy.
Wow.
So he's with the bull riders, and so he and the bull riders are going to be professional bull riders are going to be at the Allstate Arena this weekend, and so he's going to talk about some of the work he does with young people, introducing them to a whole different area, horses, bulls, livestock, because so many of us are urban, and we don't even know anything about the care of horses, the involvement in the sport of bull riding. And even just the idea of doing something that is different. So we're breaking barriers, and then we're also going to feature a young Black gospel rap artist in speaking about taking a genre of music, gospel, and putting it in the format of rap and hip-hop and preaching to. So we'll be doing that on this Wednesday. And, of course, Thursday we've got Soul Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And we've been doing an outstanding series on counseling people through grief, especially during these times. And so many people have transitioned, but we need to address the emotional effects and also recognize behaviors sometimes in our children that are really grief, and we may see it as defiance or misbehaving. We need to recognize grief so we can address it and help people heal. And then, of course, Friday we've got Health and Well-Being with Miata, and she always gives us the latest health information, which is critical, especially because there are so many ways that we can heal our bodies and our bodies healthy without natural products. So we're looking forward to that. Of course, we've got Move Around with Deborah on Saturday, always giving us the latest tips and tactics of travel, understanding that the world is still available for our exploration. Even as we work to keep ourselves safe, we also can still enjoy traveling from place to place, meeting new people, and understanding other cultures. So he's going to continue to educate us as we look at ways we can still enjoy the world. And of course, you know, coming back again to Viata on Soul Purpose Healing Sunday evening, and that's 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. So look forward to another insightful show with Viata. That's our lineup for this week, and we just appreciate the wisdom of our hosts every day, raising consciousness, transforming lives, bringing healing and wellness. And you know, Monday morning we'll be kicking it off again with Monday Morning Mindfulness.
And before we go, I would like our listeners and viewers to see the lineup, because Naima worked pretty hard on this, and it deserves to be seen. So let's share.
Female Solution, Mobile Radio TV Show, invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Z. Tune
Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Kusan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Best Strategies with Shauna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Mondays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And thank you for being a part of the solution just by tuning in this morning, because the fact that you listened let us know that you are one of the people who are conscious, who is living with purpose and passion. And just want to get a couple of comments before we go. Carla Bett says, thank you for sharing such priceless knowledge and wisdom. Thank you for watching, Carla. Yes. Be sure and share this information. Thank you so much, Carla. Do we have contact information for you, Queen Mother?
No, but you can reach me on my web. If you send me an email, I'll get back to everybody. It's Sasha, S-A-S-H-A, Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N-N, at yahoo.com.
Sasha Dalton, two N's at yahoo.com. So you will be getting some emails, I'm sure, and I'm going to post this where they can see it. Sasha Dalton, that's two N's. I have to be aware of that, at yahoo.com. That's Sasha. So.
I like Dina.
Tony just said, Sasha sings Dinah. Girl, honey, child, we all love Sasha sings Dinah. It's just a phenomenal experience. I look forward to whenever you bring it back. We want to be a part of it. Thank you very much.
For one time only. Right now I'm pushing Kristen.
For one time and one time only. Well, thank you so much, Queen
Mother.
Thank you. We love you. We appreciate the
and
work.
And I love you.
And continue to do. Mwah, 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 mwah. Ladies and gentlemen, our very own Sasha Dalton. Thank you, Queen Mother. We will look forward to bringing you back on next week when you chime in again with us with Pam Morris.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And
thank
and
you. God bless you, Princess. Did you see what I sent you in the email?
You know, you got. I don't think you know my husband Tony, Sasha, but you got a fan from way back in the day, girl.
Oh, thank you, hi Tony. God bless you.
You know,
he
said you know him. He's been over your house. That's why he know about the white doves. Okay.
And he knows about the birds.
Yeah, they go way back.
Oh right. Yeah, we do. If he knows about the birds.
Yes. Yes, he knows about the birds. So you want to give us a closing thought, Naima?
Well, we just want to remind people that everything you say has a vibration, and music and sound has a vibration. So if you ever have a sore throat, drink some water and sing some gospel.
All right, guys.
Amen.
Hum. Make a joyful noise. And thank you for being a part of today's show on The Female Solution. We appreciate you. Stay on purpose. Stay empowered. Stay tuned tomorrow morning for Self-Care Tucson. Until then, make it a great day. And thanks for watching. In the words of my friend, oh, Deborah Peterson. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to mention she's in the hospital with COVID. Please keep her in your prayer. Deborah Peterson. We hold her high, knowing that she is already healed. And anyone else who may be suffering from health challenges. And as Deborah Peterson would say, love, peace, and hair grease. Make it a great day. Thanks for watching and thanks for sharing. Be sure and share. Make it a great day. Love. All right. We're over and out. All right, Sasha, I'll call you in a little bit, dear. Thank you so much.
Okay, I was just about to send you a text.
Oh, okay, good enough. Thank you, babe.
All right.
Thank you. All
right, thank us. Okay, now let me remember to sign out because I sometimes forget. End episode, there you go.